All right, we're going to talk today about the calendar of Yahweh and the new moons and the importance thereof versus the calendar of men. We want to talk about this. This is something I feel that Yahweh has laid on my heart to share, and I feel it's important for us to examine and get our minds on the correct path. And I did a study over a year ago on the calendar and how we can determine a new month and how we can determine a new year, things like that. And so I'm not going to rehash that same study, but there are some other things I want to cover that I feel are important for us as a body of Messiah, and I want to talk about. And we need to get on Yahweh's timetable as we near, get closer and closer to the time of tribulation, the time, you know, the day is going to come when quite possibly, you know, you won't be able to check LAR.com and know when the next new moon is going to be or this festival is going to be or, and so, you know, for those of you who are somewhat familiar with Hebraic roots, you know, you need to have some way of being able to keep track of this for yourselves and knowing what to do. So I encourage you to watch that study on the calendar. But there's something I think Yahweh sort of wanted us to implement, and it had to do with the new moons. And but we want to talk about this. There are some people among us who are actually observing the new moon days as a Sabbath. And there are some who just look for the new moon, and some just pretty much the new moon goes by and they don't pay much attention to it. But I want to talk to you about why a calendar is important and why it matters. How many of you right now, if I was to ask you, what day is it on Yahweh's calendar, could tell me what day it is? Could you tell me what today is according to Yahweh? Is today the 13th day? I'm sorry, the 13th month, 27th day? Do we know that? Do we not know that? Do we know it's been 1,944 years since the destruction of the temple? Why does the calendar matter? What's the big deal? And so we're going to talk about this, the new moon in Yahweh's calendar, and why it matters. And first I need to tell you why it matters. Because in the beginning, Yahweh, our Creator, when He created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, He came up with the idea of a calendar. He invented it. He thought of it. It was His idea to create a calendar, to create a week, to create months, to create years. It was His thoughts that put this into motion. And so He established the concept of a calendar in the beginning. And in fact, we can read about this calendar, not just in the Torah, not just in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and that we can also read about it in Noah's time. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth. And the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the 17th day of the second month, we see it again. Yahweh's calendar is established from the very beginning. Abraham wasn't born yet. There was no such thing as a Jewish man, let alone Israel and Judah. But the calendar that Yahweh established in the beginning is by and large ignored by traditional Christianity and by most of the world. And in fact, almost everybody follows a calendar originally developed by a demon-worshipping emperor named Julius Caesar, with a slight modification and refinement by Pope Gregory. And we structure our lives around this man and his demarcation of time. We have watches with Caesar's calendar programmed in there for us. Our computers, on the lower right-hand portion of your computer screen, you'll see the date on most of your computers of Caesar's calendar. And we structure our lives around the calendar of a demon worshiper. That's what we do. Most of us. Because the calendar now used by the world was first instituted by Julius Caesar in 46 BCE. That's before Messiah was even born. And since Rome has ruled the world for many centuries, the Roman calendar was adopted by much of the world. Pope Gregory's refinement was motivated by his desire to celebrate Easter at the same time the First Council of Nicaea had agreed upon in 325 AD. But what if we decide to do something really radical? What if we decided to start paying attention to Yahweh's calendar? After all, he's the one that invented the idea of having one, right? He invented the idea of having a calendar to begin with. It was his idea, and since it was his idea, why do we think we can fix it? Why do we think we can improve upon what Yahweh established? You see, if the world was to start following Yahweh's calendar, wouldn't they kind of see that as an acknowledgement that Yahweh is the one that's our creator and he's Elohim and the scriptures are true and, oh, but they don't want that. See, if we would never be able to go to Washington, D.C. and successfully lobby, everybody follow Yahweh's calendar. It just wouldn't work. The world doesn't want to follow Yahweh or his ways. Barring a miracle, right? So, since even the world understands that it would be an act of homage and acknowledgement of Yahweh's authority to follow his calendar. Aren't we doing the same by following man's calendar instead of Yahweh's calendar? Aren't we doing the opposite? Aren't we failing to give proper homage to Yahweh and his calendar and his way by failing to follow and acknowledge and recognize his calendar? Are we setting him aside as being the one in authority here, ignoring the calendar he established in Genesis in favor of a pagan one? Just because the rest of the world does it. Let me ask you a question. If everyone else in the world was following Yahweh's calendar, would you still follow the pagan one? No. If everybody in the world called the Messiah Yahshua, would you insist on calling him Jesus? If everyone in the world was following and keeping the Sabbath day on the seventh day of the week, would you still be establishing a church on Sunday or first day of the week? If everybody in the world kept the feast days of Yahweh, would you be still opening presents on December 25th? Who are we following? We have to ask ourselves that. And that question usually cuts right to the chase. Are we preferring the way of the world over the way of Yahweh? Scripture says, those who think they can change times and laws are among those who are in rebellion against the Most High. That's Daniel 7:25. And we don't want to be that way. Instead of having man's calendar on our watches and so on, the calendar of Caesar, why don't we have something else? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. What? The law of Yahweh. That's what he wants us to have on our hand. Rather than man's calendar and his watches. And so whether we realize it or not, to follow Caesar's calendar instead of Yahweh's calendar is actually an act of homage or a tip of the hat or a form of acknowledging Caesar and ultimately to his mentality and, sadly, the gods he worshipped. I know. I know you're not trying to worship another god. Just because you happen to recognize Caesar's calendar. We have to realize Caesar's calendar has everything to do with paying homage to the idols of Rome. In fact, January, named in honor of the Roman idol Janus. April, most likely named after the goddess Aphrilis. March is named in honor of Mars. May is named in honor of the goddess Maya. Get my drift? June is named in honor of the Roman goddess Juno. Yuck. And July and August are named after the pagan emperors themselves. Emperors Julius and Augustus Caesar. And so, now the other months, September through December, are actually not named after pagan deities. Sept, Oct, N-O-V, Nov, and D-E-C, Dec, are actually words that we even use. You know, septuplets would mean seven, octuplets would mean eight, and nonuplets would be nine. I don't think anyone's ever had 10 children. But I'm just saying that and that's kind of unusual because it's actually the ninth month of the Caesar's calendar, and yet we're calling it Sept, as is at the seventh month, because originally the year began in the spring. Yahweh decided that, by the way. But, you know, why would we name a month in honor of a demon? I mean, I've got a real problem with that. And I have a hard time believing that Yahweh is indifferent to it. And here's the thing that bothers me is, you know, the names of these idols live on. Even to our generation where, you know, people don't even worship these things anymore. At least not a lot of people are. The names of these idols live on. And meanwhile, man takes the name of Yahweh out of his own book. You know, and you know, the names of idols are uttered billions and billions of times by every day by billions of people because the world follows a calendar originally established by a demon-worshipping emperor, Julius Caesar. Julius's name lives on, Augustus Caesar's name lives on, the idols' names, Janus, Mars, Aphrilis, Maya, Juno, all live on. Yahweh's name? Can't even find it in the pages of most English Bibles, let alone anywhere else. Doesn't this sound exactly the way Satan would have it to be? And if so, don't we want to do things the way Yahweh established them in the beginning? I mean, pagans have even named the days of the week. This is actually the Sunday in honor of the sun, Monday in honor of the moon, Tuesday in honor of Tu, the Anglo-Saxon name for Mars, Wednesday in honor of Woden, the Anglo-Saxon name for the god Mercury, and actually Woden and Godin were the same deity, and Godin is where we get the English word God from. Thursday in honor of Thor, the Anglo-Saxon name for Jupiter, Friday was named in honor of Frigg, the Norse name for Venus, and then the worst one of all, Sabbath, Saturday, named after the idol Saturn. To call the Sabbath day Saturday means the day of Saturn. That's what you're saying when you say Saturday. And to say that a day is Thursday is to say the day of Thor. How can that not bother us? I mean, if we're after Yahweh's own heart, how can that not bother us? In 321, Constantine gave homage to the sun when he said, "On the venerable day of the sun, on the venerable day of the sun," he said. "The sacred day of the sun," he said. "Let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest. Let all workshops be closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agriculture may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits, because it often happens that another day is not so suitable for grain sowing or for vine planting. Lest by neglecting the proper moment for such operations, the bounty of heaven should be lost." Given the 7th day of March, A.D. 321, Crispus and Constantine being councils, each of them for a second time. So, this is what Constantine established, was a Sunday day of rest, by his own words. And that's why the church is doing what it's doing today, partly. Now, he was kind of following what some church members were already doing. He just made it law. But he didn't say anything here about doing it because of the scriptures or because it's honor of Messiah's resurrection. He just said, on this sacred day of the sun, everybody rest. Sunday. Now, I know he was a convert to Christianity, but he was still holding on to pagan ways and wanted everyone to go along with Caesar's calendar rather than Yahweh's calendar. According to Wikipedia here, it says, Constantine enforced the prohibition of the First Council of Nicaea against celebrating the Master's Supper on the day before the Jewish Passover. This marked a definite break of Christianity from Judaic tradition. From then on, the Roman Julian calendar, a solar calendar, was given precedence over the lunar Hebrew calendar among Christian churches of the Roman Empire. The final break. And so Yahweh's calendar was dismissed as being a Hebrew calendar, and Constantine wanted to break away from that. Instead, he wanted to follow the calendar of the Roman Empire. His motive was to break away from anything Jewish. He actually wrote, "Let us then have nothing in common with the Jews, who are our adversaries." Anti-Semitism is why the church rejected Yahweh's calendar. And later, the Council of Laodicea decided that it was even wrong to observe the Sabbath, and work was actually commanded. The Council of Laodicea decided that Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on what they called Saturday. The original there has Sabbato, not to be idle on the Sabbath, but shall work on that day. But the Lord's Day, the Master's Day, they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. If, however, they are found Judaizing, they shall be shut out, the word, the Greek there, anathema, from Messiah. Amazing! How could you be anathema from Messiah by doing what Messiah did? They don't see that he's Jewish! Come on, you can't do this. But anti-Semitism had a way of blinding their eyes. And so in line with Constantine, the council actually told everyone to work on Sabbath. And to me, it's terrible. It's sad. Very sad. And so I have a problem with saying, this is Saturn's day. This other day is the sun's day. This other one is Thor's Day, knowing that every day belongs to Yahweh, not demons. I would like to think that that kind of language is an abomination to our lips and to Yahweh's ears as well. Because Yahweh says, "This is the day Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And so what do we say? We can call what's commonly called Sunday, we can call it first day of the week, second day of the week, third day of the week, and so on. And go according to that. Isn't that better? First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, or we call this day Sabbath. This might be called Day of Preparation or Preparation Day, however you want to say it, in preparation for the Sabbath. And these other days, they don't have names in the Scripture. Scripture does not have names for these days. So, we'll just call it first, second, third, fourth, and fifth day. Now, what if I said to you, "Hey, I'll join you on third day of the week." How many of you are thinking, "Okay, that's Wednesday"? See how pervasive the enemy's ways have become ingrained in our minds. Third day of the week is actually not Wednesday, a day commonly called Wednesday. It's a day commonly called Tuesday. See? We're conditioned to think of Sunday as being the last day of the week because of the work schedules of the world. And so, I don't know about you, but I want to be completely free of this worldly mentality. I don't want my life to revolve around Julius Caesar and his calendar, or Pope Gregory and his calendar. I want my life to center around Yahweh's calendar, his demarcation of time, rather than a couple of Romans who did not honor Yahweh. Now, I realize we happen to live in a world where every event, every scheduled activity, every birthday, every anniversary, everything is centered around Caesar's calendar. This fact is only further convincing me of how I want to be more focused on Yahweh's timetable. And yes, if I'm talking to somebody in the world, sometimes here on the broadcast, I have to remember to say, "On a day commonly called Monday." Or I'll say, "The day called Monday." Or if I write it down, I'll put the day in quotation marks, because I'm quoting somebody else, not what I would call it. And maybe I'm just being overly technical for some of you. Maybe I sound a little bit silly or legalistic or whatever. I'm just trying to honor my king and his calendar. Now, Yeshua said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." He didn't say, "Stop paying tithe of mint and anise and cumin." He said, "These you ought to have done without leaving the others," what? "Justice, mercy, and faith undone." So even if you think it's a small thing, we should do small things without leaving the bigger things undone. And we do this because we have a passion for the things of Yahweh. We have a holy jealousy for Him and His ways. We have a desire to see Him be exalted rather than the devil. And because He expressed in the first two books of Scripture, He has His own calendar, it ought to matter to us. It should matter. It matters because it's something He has done. And the dates which the Bible uses are based on Yahweh's calendar, not man's, not Caesar's, Yahweh's. The ark rested the seventh month, 17th day of the month. That's during the Feast of Tabernacles on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Interesting. Later on in Genesis, it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering from the ark. Indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. And so, in the interest of following Yahweh's calendar and establishing its importance in our lives, how about we start paying more attention to what he says and when he says is a new month? How about we start getting on Yahweh's timetable rather than the timetable of pagan Rome? And in order to do that, we have to give Yahweh the honor due him in the calendar he established. We need to hang his calendar on our walls, not our refrigerators. And maybe if we start doing that as we should, Yahweh will give all of us more understanding and clarity of how he wants us to observe his calendar. Maybe some of the confusion and disagreements that exist among believers in the feast days and the Torah, you know, maybe things would be resolved if Yahweh would see our efforts and say, look at them. They're really trying to follow my calendar. They're really, really focused on it. Tell you what, I'm going to show them a few things. And I know of people that came to the truth of observing the Sabbath on the seventh day of the week rather than the first day of the week because they decided they were going to keep what they called Sunday like a real Sabbath. And then they found out, according to Yahweh, that begins on Saturday night because days begin at evening. And then, well, wait a minute. Anyway, what's going on here anyway with this Sabbath? They come to find the truth of the Sabbath by just honoring Yahweh with even what was actually wrong. And so if we're wrong about the calendar somewhere, maybe he'll help us if we're very devout in this and focus on getting on his time frame. And the reason why it's so hard is because calendar is so deeply ingrained in our lives. Yeah, I recognize that. But wouldn't it be nice if his calendar was deeply ingrained in our lives instead of Caesar's? I think so. You know, anyway, Yahweh's calendar is going to be a big deal one day, whether you like it or not. Isaiah 66, verse 22 says, as the heavens and the earth, new earth, new heavens and new earth, which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me. We are going to get back on Yahweh's week. We're going to get back on Yahweh's months. And the ones, it says, they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Yahshua referred to this when he was talking about the wicked perishing in the lake of fire. So, in the future, Yahweh is going to force everybody to acknowledge his calendar rather than Caesar's calendar. Everyone's going to know, okay, it's a new month. And we're going to acknowledge Yahweh's the author of time, not Caesar. Not these idols. He decides when it's a new month, not Caesar, not Rome, Yahweh. And we often pray, Yahweh, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Well, guess what? When Yahweh's kingdom comes and his will is done on the earth as it is in heaven, we're going to follow his calendar. That tells me what his will is right now. That tells me what his will is. And the feasts. We're going to gather for the feasts too. The whole world, Zechariah 14:16, shall come to pass that every one who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be whatever families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, on them there will be no rain. But the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in. That's Gentiles. They will have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which Yahweh strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So the feast days are not just for the Jews, as they say. It's for everybody. When Yahweh's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, everybody, Jew, Gentile alike, will keep Yahweh's calendar. But we won't even know when the feasts are unless we pay attention to Yahweh's calendar. And Yahweh knows that. And so everyone will have to pay attention to his calendar, gather on his new moons, his demarcation of time, his months, his holidays. And if they won't, they'll be punished. Does that not tell you how important his calendar is to him? So I say, let's pay attention to his calendar now. If that's his will, if that's his expressed will in the age to come, that tells me what his will is for us. After all, the end time events are going to center around Yahweh's calendar, not the one from pagan Rome. We need to know what time it is. We need to know what day it is. We need to know what month it is. How many of you, if I asked you the question, what day of what month is it right now on Yahweh's calendar, could have told me? 27th day, 13th month. Most people say, oh yeah, it's March 29th. But how many of us could have told me today? 27th day of 13th month. Shalosh Esrei, 27. Shalosh Esrei, sorry, is how you say 13th in Hebrew. Well, I got some good news for you. If you're like me, you're building conviction about this. You can walk over to that calendar hanging on the wall, that Roman calendar honoring Caesar and his pagan gods. You can walk over that calendar right now, and as long as you believe like I do, the crescent determines a new month, and take your black marker and black out the name April. Instead, put Aviv. A-V-I-V. And Aviv is the first month of Yahweh's year. Yahweh said, Deuteronomy 16:1, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to Yahweh your Elohim, for in this month, Aviv, Yahweh your Elohim, brought you out of Egypt by night. And amazingly, the same will be true. This is amazing because the days of April line up with the same days of the week as Aviv. It all lines up. The same days of the month called April line up with the same days of the month of Aviv, Yahweh's calendar. This is rare. Now, it happened once in February. But it happened again this month, this April. And it's going to happen again, depending on your understanding of the calendar. It's going to happen again. If you believe in a local sighting, a local crescent sighting of the new moon, the month of April will be the one that says local sighting. Now, if you believe in Israel sighting, if you know what I'm talking about, then it may not be seen. It might be seen, it might not be. But the month following, which is called May, everybody be on the same page at that point. And actually the month of May, you can cross out that word May from your calendar and put Ziv. Ziv. And Ziv, Z-I-V. Z-I-V. That is the month of Ziv. That's the second month of Yahweh's calendar, according to 1 Kings 6, verse 1. That's when he began to build the house of Yahweh, the month of Ziv. Solomon. Ziv means brightness or radiance. It's also seen in 1 Kings 6:37. The fourth year the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid, the month of Ziv. So instead of saying April 1st or May 3rd, we'll just call it Aviv first and Ziv third. Yes, I know it sounds strange to some of you in your ears. That's only because it's different than what you're used to. And I'm sure for some of you it may have been an adjustment also to call the Messiah Yahshua rather than Jesus. But you know, our words are important. Now, you're not going to be able to do that with this month called June. You won't be able to put Sivan in for that month because they're not going to match up. But this is a good way to get started on following Yahweh's calendar and getting established and paying attention to His calendar. So if there's ever a time you want to get on Yahweh's timetable, it'd be this year, because this next 2 months will be pretty easy. And maybe Yahweh's giving us a little help here. Either way, you know, we've got to pay attention. And so when we talk to the world, yes, we have to use their names and so on so they'll understand what we're talking about. But we can still say it in a cautious way, as to honor, not give any honor or credence to the idols and demons of Rome, and just say, you know, the month called April, the month called May, not the month I call, but it's what it's commonly called. And maybe that's just splitting hairs or semantics, but I feel better about that. Now, anciently, Israel paid close attention to Yahweh's calendar. 1 Samuel 20, verse 5, David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is a new moon. I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide in the field the third day at evening." So they were watching the new moon's phases, or the moon's phases, and had familiarity with when the next moon was going to be. And there are times, even without a moon chart or anything, I can kind of tell by judging how bright the moon is and so on, when it's going to be seen next. So, and then we see later in the chapter, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon. You'll be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you stay 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and remain by the stone Ezel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target, and there I will send a lad saying, "Go find the arrows." If I expressly say to him, 'Look, the arrows are on the other side of you, get them and come,' then as Yahweh lives, there is safety for you and no harm," and so on. Jump down to verse 22. "If I say to the young man, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way,' Yahweh sent you away. As for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed Yahweh be between you and me forever." So David hid in the field. When the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Verse 25. "Now the king sat on his seat as at other times on the seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose. Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something has happened to him. He's unclean. Surely he's unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, 'Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today?'" So we see that they had some kind of a gathering, or at least a meal. They made it a special event. In this case, the king held a feast of 3 days. And Saul in particular did not want anyone to sit at his table if they were unclean. Now, there is no scripture anywhere telling us that this is a requirement, or that the day of the new moon is a holy day, or that we have to do anything in particular on the day of the new moon. There is not a single verse in the Torah that tells us to do anything on the day of the new moon, but there were specific commandments given for the priests. Numbers chapter 28. "At the beginnings of your months you shall present a burnt offering to Yahweh, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish." And so there were special offerings given. 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering, mixed with oil for each bull. 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with oil for the 1 ram. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. So there were these offerings that were commanded. "Their drink offerings shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 a hin for a ram, 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to Yahweh shall be offered, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. So this was the first day of the month, and there were also these trumpets that were commanded to be done. And I guess I don't have the first part of Numbers there, but it says, Yahweh spoke to Moshe, say, make 2 silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them a hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the congregation, for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. In verse 4, but if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron the priests shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall remember before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So this ordinance with the trumpets and the special offerings, it was followed. It was followed by all of Israel. 1 Chronicles 23:27. Chapter 23:27. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered to 20 years and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of Yahweh, in the courts and in the chambers, and the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of Elohim, both with the showbread and fine flour for the grain offering, unleavened cakes, and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed, with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning and thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and at every presentation of a burnt offering to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the set feasts, by number according to the ordinance governing them regularly before Yahweh, that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, and the work of the house of Yahweh. We also see 2 Chronicles 2:4. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of Yahweh my Elohim, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of Yahweh our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. 2 Chronicles 8:12, Solomon offered burnt offerings to Yahweh on the altar of Yahweh, which he had built before the vestibule, according to the daily rate, offering according to the commandment of Moshe, for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the 3 appointed yearly feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles. And then getting back to the time of the exile, Ezra 3:4, they also kept the Feast of Tabernacles as is written, offered the daily burnt offerings, the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterward, they offered the regular burnt offering and those for the new moons. There it is. And for all the appointed feasts of Yahweh, and so on. Nehemiah 10, also we made ordinances, verse 32, for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of our Elohim, for the showbread, the regular grain offering, for the regular burnt offering of the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the set feasts. So they were keeping these ordinances in terms of, we see them mentioning the sacrifices. Now there was one time per year that there was a commanded Sabbath, a commanded gathering, on the new moon. And that's found in Leviticus 23:24. It says, speak to children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So that is a commanded day of rest. Just the new moon of the seventh month. The fact this is not mentioned as a day of rest at other months, I think, speaks well to the fact that the other months are not really days of rest. But this particular Sabbath, the Sabbath of the seventh, first day of the seventh month, Yom Teruah, or Day of Trumpets, is probably what's being spoken of here in Psalm 81. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. This word full could mean concealed moon. But this is a statute for all of Israel, a law of the Elohim of Jacob. Or this could be referring to the full moon, which we do blow the trumpets at the feast, as we saw earlier. And usually the moon is full during the spring and fall feasts, so that would make sense as well. Now, one verse that some would use here as Amos chapter 8, verse 4. It says, "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy, and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and even sell the bad wheat." And so some would suggest, well, isn't this indicating that maybe the new moon is a day of rest because they're acting as if buying and selling is forbidden? And I know and I respect brothers who see it that way. But there's a little problem with that, at least from my perspective, because of some other verses which indicate work is done on that day. This could be referring to specifically the new moon of the seventh month, but not the new moon like every month there being a new moon. So here's some evidences that the new moon day is not a day of rest. Exodus chapter 40 says that Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and partition off the ark with a veil. You shall bring in the table, and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps." That's working. "You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of testimony, put up the spring for the door, screen of the door of tabernacle. You shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water in it." And so there's all these things. You can continue reading into Exodus 40. Lots of things being done on that day. And then we have the book of Ezra, chapter 7, saying, "On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem." So he arrives on the first day of the fifth month. He left on the first day of the first month. So those were two traveling days. "And according to the good hand of his Elohim upon him, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of Yahweh and to do it." And so I don't think there would be a scriptural comment about him seeking the law of Yahweh and doing it if it was forbidden somehow to travel on the first day of the first month and the first day of the fifth month. I don't think it would have been mentioned there. And so those do not appear to be, I mean, if you've ever walked 20 miles, I mean, it's work. Especially when you're just getting started on the journey. The first few days, until your legs get stronger, you're going to be wore out. So don't look like working days or rest days to me, I should say. So at least for me, I've ruled out this possibility, especially in the absence of a specific command that it would be a day of rest. It just appears to be a day that Israel would get together, recognize a new month had occurred on Yahweh's calendar. And so we can also gather and rejoice that Yahweh has given us life for another month, and pay attention to his time, his time frame, his calendar, his demarcation of time. And the new moon also appears to have been a day when people would go and inquire of Yahweh. 2 Kings 4:22. Then she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of Elohim and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said it as well. So it indicates, at least culturally, the new moon was a day when Israel would go and hear the word of Yahweh from a prophet, at least. And maybe they would gather. We see Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. "Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting." Now, traditional theologians, Christians, some would like to suggest that, oh, Yahweh doesn't want us to keep the new moon, the Sabbath. Okay, then don't go to church on the day you call Sunday, because that's the calling of an assembly. No, what's he saying? He's saying, "Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So they were wicked, hands being full of blood, guilty of bloodshed, and here they are gathering on the new moons, on the appointed feasts, on the Sabbath, saying, "Oh, give praise to Yahweh, spread out my hands, lift up the hands, give glory to Yahweh," while those hands they were lifting up were hands that were murderous hands. He says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, looking back here, what he can't stand is this: iniquity and the sacred meeting. He doesn't want us to offer up our hands as an evening sacrifice and praise, the offering of praise upon our lips while we have refusing to repent. He says, repent, learn to do good, seek justice, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow, care for the poor, the oppressed, plead for them. Then I'll accept you. Because he commanded these things. So, but either way, you know, we do see Israel had a habit of gathering on a new moon. Now, maybe this custom arose because of everybody's desire to go look for it. And it's always more interesting and fun to look for the new moon when there's a large group of people with you than it is just going by yourself. And also, there's more eyes there to see it, and you got more eyes looking for it, whereas one person might miss it. And so, you know, once the new moon started, this is a scene, then, you know, blowing a shofar and get together maybe for a meal. I could see how that would turn into something more than just looking in the sky for evidence of Yahweh's new month. I could see that. And I could see how it might have evolved over time and grown into a custom, even though the Torah itself never really commanded that gathering. Now, what's interesting is that when Messiah returns, when Yahshua returns, and he sets up his reign on the earth, at that time, there will actually be a commanded gathering, as we saw earlier, Isaiah 66:22. It says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me." So, now, some would say this is talking about the new moon of the seventh month only, But I don't know. I'm not so sure. I mean, there's something about that. It could be talking every one new moon to the next. And does that mean you're gonna skip 11 of them, then go every 12th new moon, or is it every month, every new one new moon to another? So it looks to me like it's a monthly thing. It's an every month thing. And so just as Yahweh added the commandments to get baptized when Yahshua died for our sins, he added the commandments to partake of the body and blood of Messiah, and as we read in the book of Matthew, maybe Yahweh will add this commandment to gather on the new moons, if for no other reason but to move this world away from Caesar's calendar and toward Yahweh's calendar, away from the Roman calendar with its pagan names of deities, and back to Yahweh's calendar, the way he established it from the very beginning of time. And these new moon gatherings, where we come and worship before Yahweh, will be a way of getting this world back onto his timetable, the one he established in the beginning, the creation. And it's also during this time he will open up the gates of the inner court of the temple. In Ezekiel 45:17, it says, "Then it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings, the feasts, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and all appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare a sin offering, grain offering, burnt offering, and peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel." And if you're looking at this and you're saying, "What are you talking about? This can't be future," please read the context. It is undoubtedly, you cannot deny it, this is future. Read all those chapters. And if they're still confused by that, watch the four studies I did on the book of Hebrews late last year, earlier this year, on the Roman calendar. This, it says, also Isaiah 46:1-2, "Thus says the Master Yahweh, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and on the day of the new moon it shall be open. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside, and shall stand by the gateposts. The priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate, then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening." And so this inner court, this gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east, shall be shut the 6 working days. On the Sabbath it will be open. On the day of the new moon it will be open. What's he talking about here? It says Ezekiel 46:3, "Likewise the people of the land shall worship at the entrance of this gateway before Yahweh on the Sabbath and on the new moons." There we go. And so, verse 6 says, "On the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram," talking about the different offerings that will be offered on this new moon day. And so, this is what I'm trying to get to here, is this gateway right here of the inner court is the gate that will be shut during the 6 working days. It'll be open on the Sabbath and on the new moons. And looking from overhead, here's the eastern gateway facing the east, which is the Mount of Olives. And this gateway right here will be closed on the 6 working days, but it'll be open on the Sabbath and on the new moon. And for the believers in Yahshua the Messiah in the first century, what were they doing? What were they doing on the new moon days? Were they doing anything unique, anything unusual? What were they doing? Well, when Paul's writing to the Colossians, he said, chapter 2:16, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah." New moon. New moon. Very interesting. Now, traditional Christianity would suggest that this verse is proof that the feast days and Sabbath and new moons and clean and unclean laws are abolished. It's actually saying the opposite. It's saying that these things are presently, today, are a shadow of things to come. Not were a shadow way back when we kept those things and Jews were commanded, not back then, but today, the new moon, festival, Sabbath, and so on, these things are presently a shadow of things to come. And we see that in the scriptures. We see that in Isaiah, the new moons being observed, the Sabbath being observed, and so on, Zechariah 14, the festivals. And that's going to include food and drink. I mean, it's going to be times of feasting. And so, what Paul is saying is, don't let the pagans judge you for keeping these things. He's not saying, don't let the Jews judge you for not keeping them. He's saying, don't let the philosophies of men, traditions of men, the asceticism found in Greek theology, and all that influence you into feeling like you're doing something wrong by acknowledging Yahweh's new moon, by acknowledging and keeping Yahweh's Sabbath and the feast days. And some translations for this word body, though, like the New King James has the word substance. But biblically speaking, that word is translated body 144 times. Now, why does that matter? And only once bodily and only once slave. And that was talking about a slave's body. So either way, it means body. What we're saying here is let no one judge you in what? Food, drink, festival, new moon, Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. Let no one judge you but the body of Messiah. In other words, don't let anyone judge you except the body of Messiah. Only the body of Messiah is qualified to judge these matters. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, "Now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside?" Yes, we can judge each other, but those on the outside, Elohim judges. So we have to, I mean, judgment begins at the household of Yahweh, right? So he's saying, don't let anyone on the outside judge you. Only let the body of Messiah judge these matters. And if you look this up in the Greek, that is exactly what this phrase is, body of Messiah. And I have a full study on this topic of Colossians chapter 2. And these are the links, eliad.com/col2.html, col2.html. And also on the transcripts, if you go to the main page of eliad.com and click archives at the very top, I have a full video study on Colossians chapter 2. So, brethren, it's clear to me that the early disciples were indeed giving attention to the new moon days. And, you know, the Roman calendar was being kept by the Gentiles in Colossae and other places. And so, you know, Julius Caesar had actually created this calendar that we're following today, with a little different, with a slight refinement by Pope Gregory, but he created this calendar 100 years prior to probably sometime at the time of this letter to Colossae. So they were already following that. And so when the Gentile believers in Colossae started to pay attention to Yahweh's calendar rather than the Roman calendar, Paul is saying, no, don't let these heathen judge you for not keeping the things of the world, the Roman calendar, and holding to the things of Messiah, because this is a shadow of things coming yet. This is going to be our future. The whole world, the entire planet will worship Yahweh on the new moon and the Sabbath. And so, the Gentiles were trying to cleave to Yahweh's calendar in a Roman calendar world. Isn't that the situation we're in right now? And so if you're trying to follow Yahweh's calendar, and we live in this Roman calendar world, don't let the Roman calendar followers judge you for keeping Yahweh's calendar, because the whole world's going to keep Yahweh's calendar one day, whether they like it or not. Now, we were once Gentiles, and so we follow the calendar of the Gentiles. But we're not Gentiles anymore, are we? We're not. We're Israel. That's who we are. We're Israel. That's why Ephesians 2 says, you were once Gentiles. At one time you were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. But now through Messiah you are brought near. And if we are brought near, and we're made to be a part of the commonwealth of Israel by the blood of Messiah, it behooves us to follow the calendar he followed. Did Messiah follow Yahweh's calendar? Did he follow Rome's calendar? I don't think so. And so if we're wanting to walk as Yahshua walked, first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what would Yahshua do? What did he do? Knowing what he did is key to knowing what he will do. And knowing what he will do in the future tells us what he would do today. He wouldn't be following demon-worshipping emperor calendars that give honor to demons and idol-worshipping emperors. He would be following the calendar that Yahweh established at creation, the calendar that he himself is going to reestablish when he returns and reigns on the earth. So isn't it about time we start doing what Yahshua would do? Isn't it about time that we know what day it is according to him? Isn't it about time we start structuring our lives around Yahweh's demarcation of time rather than man's? I think it's high time. Brothers and sisters, it's high time. So I want to help. I want to help you, and I want to help myself. And so starting this year, Yahweh's new year according to him, I'm going to start offering another broadcast besides the regular Sabbath broadcast I do every week. It'll be much shorter, but starting on what the world calls this Monday night, in the quote, I will be offering a new moon broadcast. It will be a little different than the Sabbath broadcast. On this broadcast, I will be getting new moon reports from various brethren around the world, especially here in the United States. We will take some Skype calls so that people can share music, share a shofar blast. I'm going to share some scriptures on the various events that occurred during that particular biblical month in question. In other words, whatever events occurred during the first biblical month in Scripture, we're going to go over those. The events that occurred the second biblical month, we'll go over those, and so on. But, you know, in some ways, we may learn some things together as we do these broadcasts. I mean, and it'll be a help for me as much as anyone else. I mean, so many times I've felt this twinge of guilt because I forgot the new moon was tonight. And new moon would go by, I'd miss it, wouldn't notice it, wouldn't bother to look, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be on Yahweh's schedule. I want to be paying attention to it, because that's our future. And maybe there'll be some calendar questions, I'm sure, and we'll get this refined and corrected or whatever we need corrected on. But listen, I just want to do what I know the early disciples were doing. Because if they were doing it, then Yahshua was probably doing it too. And I want to walk as much as I can like he did. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 2:6. I have been crucified, I've been paled with Messiah. It is no longer I who live. It's Messiah that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. Since he now lives in me, I will do what he did. I will conduct myself as he conducted himself. And yes, that's a tall order. I have not arrived there yet. We're working on it. We're in progress. So let's live our lives as though, yes, Messiah is living in me. And the life which I now live, I am living by faith in him. It's no longer I who live anymore. I'm going to live like Messiah did. I'm going to live the way Yahshua the Messiah will tell everybody to live when he returns. I want to live just as he did. I want to manifest the Messiah to the whole world by walking as he walked, by living as he lived, by talking as he talked, by loving as he loved, by dying to self as he died, by serving as he served, and yes, keeping the calendar that he kept. And so as we do this, my brothers and sisters, I'm excited. As we do this, as we walk as Messiah did, and as he will tell the whole world to walk in the age to come, may Yahweh bless you. And may Yahweh have mercy upon us, his peculiar people. Hallelujah.
Cherish it now and evermore. There's the light. Heavenly Son, HaMashiach, Od Vehadar, Levusho. Come, believe me, HaMashiach, Shochen Behei Chalom. Ram Nisach, HaMashiach, Levusho. Come, believe me, HaMashiach, Shochen Beheichalo. Ala HaMizbeach Kaseh Onshi Ushilem Kefodeh Kol Berech Tichra Kol Lashon Ken Todeh Ram Nisa HaMashiach Ishtachavu lefanav Hayoshev limino shel ha'av Kol ayin tireh shivato Lefirav Ram v'nisah HaMashiach
Blessed be Yahweh, hallelujah. And at this time in the broadcast, we are ready for your comments and questions, if you have any. Just above the left-hand side of the video screen, there you will see a link to comments and questions. If you click that link, A little pop-up window will come up. It will not interrupt the broadcast, and you can pose your question or make your comment there. Love to hear from you, and so we are ready to get started with that. And I know I probably opened another can of worms this week. It's got to be another way of saying it besides can of worms. I don't know, can of something. But here we are. Okay. We do have a comment from, let's see, Robert Easley says, one of the blood moons is supposed to be what they call a super blood moon. It will appear larger than normal. And I forget which one it is, either the third or fourth blood moon. And one of these blood moons is supposed to be visible to Israel. What this means, I have no idea. But I'm sure that there has to be some kind of outcome from this. Okay, we'll find out. Ed from Lewisburg says, I have researched the blood moon hype and found it wanting. It's not 100% accurate. Even the events attached to them are questionable. Advice is, don't believe all the hype out there. Check things out and prove them for yourselves. That's right. Can't be lazy about it. Check it out. D from New Jersey, question, if it is cloudy in New Jersey for the next week and we're unable to see the new moon, what is the default day? Day 30. What about two or three witnesses that sight the new moon from another state? We have a personal computer or a way of hearing their witness. How does this tie in with the barley in Israel if someone has no PC or way of knowing what the barley is Aviv? Basically what I'm asking is, if you see the new moon today and I can only see it tomorrow, our feast timing would not align. Can you explain if I see the moon for myself to keep the Passover 14 days after? Well, you know, on those kinds of questions, I just say, you know, how do people keep the Sabbath when they live above the Arctic Circle when it's dark for 3 months, or dark for 2 months and the sun doesn't come up, or it's light for 2 months or 3 months? I mean, how do they observe Shabbat? There are some difficulties there. There are some things that are hard to rectify. And that's all right. Yahweh knew it, and we do the best we can. Now, for me, since I have access to reports from Israel, since I have access to reports from other parts of the United States regarding the new moon and so on, depending on where they are in the United States, I may choose to accept their report. There are some really good moon charts out there that give you an idea where it might be visible and so on. And so I do think we need to have more than one witness. And part of, you know, what I'm planning on, or at least hoping to do, on these new moon broadcasts, this one coming up on the night of what's called March 31st, what's called Monday night, and it's going to be at 8 o'clock, which I know may bump into some people and their ability to, I should say 8 o'clock, I meant, it's actually going to be 9:30 your time. 9:30, did I say 9:30? Yes, 9:30 your time, 8:30 my time. So at 9:30 your time, p.m., and I'll have the times posted up on the live page for the new moon broadcast. 9:30 Eastern time or 8:30 Central time. 7:30 Mountain Time, 6:30 Pacific is when I'm going to do the new moon broadcast. And the reason why we kind of have to have it that late is so I personally have time to go look for the new moon, perhaps get a picture of it, I've got a camera with a good zoom that would, you know, zoom it into normal eye level to where it would typically be what the human eye can see. So that's what we're going to do. And then if I have a good picture, I'll bring it in. If I don't have a good picture, my hope is that there will be other people who perhaps do or can testify that they saw the new moon, and we can get some reports in that way. And at some point here soon also, I'm going to create a page where people can submit their new moon reports and associated pictures thereof. So that's the plan. But I don't know if I'll get all that done before the next couple of days, but we'll see. All right. So we do the best we can with what we know. That's always the advice I'm going to give. When we're not sure, we do the best we can with what we know. When we do find out things, then we go according to what we found out. And we just do our best to try to find out. And if we don't have any other information, then we go with whatever we know. And yes, it's possible the new moon would not be seen in Maine, but would be seen in Missouri, and it would be seen in Arizona. And we covered these difficulties during the calendar study last year. And we go according to what we understand is correct in our area. That's what I do. Some people would go by an Israel sighting, and I can respect and understand that. For me, I'm going by local sighting. But we will include Israel sightings, anywhere in the world sightings, from multiple sources, any reports we can get. When we do a broadcast for the new moon, we will go over that and work this thing out. And if I'm wrong in some area, I will certainly be open to correction. So, all right. Christopher Johnson says, so when does the new month start? On the day it's spotted or the day after? When does the month start is the main question. Well, the month's going to start since, let's suppose it started on what a day called Monday night. Well, after sundown, what's called Monday night is actually going to be Tuesday. Since Monday, what's called Monday is the second day of the week, the day called Tuesday is the third day of the week. Technically, Monday night is third day night. The evening of the third day. And that will technically, in the Hebrew and Roman calendar, be April 1st, starting Monday night, according to the Roman calendar. But we're going to call it Aviv 1. It will be visible here in the United States. It may or may not be visible in Israel that night. But I'm going according to what I have here, and we'll go from there. So. Bruno Patton Jr. from Oak Creek, Wisconsin said, which sun did the whites come from? Which sun did the blacks come from? Which sun did the Hebrews come from? What land did each people settle in? It does matter to me. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've heard people say, well, the blacks came from sons of Ham, the whites came from sons of Shem, the Asians came from Japheth. I've heard the opposite. I don't know. I just don't know. And if you want to do your research, feel free to do that. And to me, it doesn't matter. So I haven't done any research on that. So, all right. Yako from South Carolina said, could you please put the PowerPoint back up on the days of the week, what they were named after? I was trying to write that down. I want to take a long look. Okay. We'll do that here in just a second. And as I scroll back through the PowerPoint slides, we will put those up for you. And here we go. This is actually I said month names at the top. That was a mistake. actually copied a slide from the calendar study last year, and that was the mistake there too. But so cross that out there. It's not month names, day names. And so, unfortunately, sadly, regrettably, they named Yahweh's days, the beautiful days that He has made, after idols. Robert from Easley said, how do you account for the calendar the Jews follow today is somewhat different from the calendar you follow because they are on a different year than we are. Sometimes their feast dates vary by a couple of days, give or take from ours. So how do we know who's right or who's wrong? Well, of course, the way we always know who's right and who's wrong is by looking into the scriptures. And actually, they acknowledge, the Jews acknowledge in their Talmud that the day in which their calendar that they are keeping is not the one they were keeping in the first century. So they have the calendar they're following today is called the Hillel calendar, Hillel 2 calendar. It's very much a calculated calendar as opposed to something that you rely upon your eyes to observe. It's something you just, it's a 19-year cycle. And actually they will not have the Yom Kippur and Sabbath next to each other. So they'll move around the days in the fall, for convenience. And I don't think we should move anything for convenience. I think we should do exactly what Yahweh says. Keith says, Aviv is not the name of the first month. Aviv is talking about the state of the barley crop. Whenever Aviv is mentioned, it has the definite article in front of it in the Hebrew manuscripts. It says the month of the Aviv. In other words, in the month that the barley is ripening, before the Babylonian captivity, there was no names for the months, just numbers. After the Babylonian captivity, pagan names were used for months, and that's never with the in front of them. I don't know. I've found a little different. I do believe what you said about month of the Aviv. I agree. But there were some other month names mentioned, like the month of Ziv. That's mentioned in other places. There are other month names before the Babylonian captivity. So, I don't know. I'm not sure I completely agree. But if you prefer to use the numbers, that's fine. You can use the numbers instead of the month names. But, yeah. All right. Good point. Kathleen from Madison, Wisconsin. Shabbat Shalom, can you tell me where I can find the names of all the months? You gave us Aviv and Ziv. I'd like to know them all. I don't have them here posted, but just about all you got to do is type in Google Hebrew month names, and you'll find a multitude of resources there. Just be careful, because some of those month names, as somebody mentioned, was from Babylon. Chad Hammond makes a pretty good point here from Winder, Georgia. The sacrifices were offered on the new moons. And since we are the royal priesthood, we offer the sacrifices of praises of our lips on the new moons. So that's a good point. Very good. Anonymous says, I read the final words of Colossians can be translated for the body of Messiah. It changed the entire meaning, which are a shadow of things to come for the body of Messiah. Very subtle change. A translation of the Greek is key. Worth investigating. Okay, take a look here. The word there in the Greek is de. And it is translated but 1,237 times and 935 times, now 166 times, then 132 times. So, I think it's probably, you know, either but or and. And either one would still not say four. There is another Greek word for four. And also, let's see, looking here at... see. And also the Peshitta, which is the Aramaic translation or Aramaic primacy, some would suggest, of New Testament writings. The word is deen, and that is the word that is also meaning but, not for. So I'm not sure I would come to that same conclusion. Anonymous says, I generally kindle a fire before sunset on Shabbat. However, by Shabbat morning, the fire is out. How does one keep the fire overnight? Is it as simple as setting one's alarm? Still a silly question, but still wondering. Well, one thing you can do is turn down the oxygen levels entering the fire chamber, and so it burns slower. We've done that. Use some harder woods would be another thing. And if worse comes to worse, yes, you may have to get up in the middle of the night. But usually there's some coals there, at least in the morning, to kind of get things going again. So at least that's been my experience. If that's not your experience, perhaps you know, a different kind of wood stove would be an idea. I think Israel actually used charcoal, like the charcoal bricks we have. They would smoke the wood and then they'd save it for wintertime and then use those hot coals to heat the rooms. Dave from Hudson, Wisconsin. Once again, that'll be 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central Time. Deborah from Canada asked the same question. Glenn Jen Robbins says, just wondering about the upcoming new moon. Only 1% visibility is being predicted, although we all will have nearly an hour of darkness after sunset to spot it. It may be faint to see, correct? This one coming up would be one of the thinner ones. But usually an hour difference between sunset and moonset, there is, you know, quite a bit of time there to see it. It's only when you start getting closer to the 30-minute difference between moonset and sunset that you're not sure when it's going to be seen. And even that can vary throughout the year, so... Glenn Jen Robbins says, do you have a good calendar program that can be downloaded from the internet to create one's own calendar? There's not really a place to purchase a scripturally accurate calendar. Most messianic calendars have pagan names written beside the biblical ones. I don't know really of any right now. But I'm thinking of developing one that can be downloaded and printed. So... and maybe even make a printed one available. So we're going to see how that goes. This has been on my mind for a while, but I've been in prayer about it, and I think we want to move forward with this, and I feel that this is the time. So we may be offering a calendar at some point, maybe very soon. Ed from Lewisburg says, let's do this new moon gathering. I know Yahweh will be well pleased. It's going to get some getting used to, but it will become second nature in no time. Hallelujah. Emmanuel Hill from Richmond Hill, New York, says, what is the name of the last song, Ram Vinasa? All right, I'll put a ROM Venisaw can be downloaded on Amazon after the Sabbath, of course. And this is how it is. Oh, I thought I had it up there. I guess I don't. This is how it's spelled. Glenn Jen Robin also said, I've often wondered if Isaiah 66:23 might simply be saying that for 1,000 years of Messiah's reign on earth, people will be coming to Jerusalem to worship him day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, a constant stream of people from all the corners of the world flowing to Jerusalem to worship Yahshua for 1,000 years. Even if you look at it that way, we still have the new moon days that the inner court is opened, and indicating, you know, it's a unique time. You know, if we choose to look at it that way, you know, either way. So, all right. Seem to remember missing a question somewhere. I don't see it now, but I thought somebody had a question and I missed it. No, I don't see it. Anyway, all right. Dave from Hudson, Wisconsin, I believe that as we keep the new moons, we'll gain more understanding in Yahweh's ways, similar to when we started to keep the Sabbath day holy. He gives us more knowledge and blessings as we diligently kept the day. Very well may could be. Yes, very much could be. Truth Seeker, what is the glory of Yahweh? It's the visible manifestation of His presence. Yahshua is called the brightness of His glory. We are also made in the image and glory of Yahweh. I think the word glory actually means weight in Hebrew. It has to do with weightiness. Jerry from Bern with Switzerland, clarify Aviv and Nisan. Todah Rabbah. Aviv is the Hebraic way of recognizing the first month. And then Nisan would be the Babylonian name of the first month. The Babylonians also went by the visible crescent. And so when the Jews went in Babylon, they picked up some of the month names from them, and they brought them back. But there were some month names mentioned prior to their exile. So, Stephanie from New Jersey said, what would the four blood moons mean anyway? Why is that so important? Trying to learn Yahweh's calendar. Thank you for taking time to explain these things because it's new to me and others. Well, blood moons is just let's say the sun was here, and the earth is here, and then the moon's over here. The sun normally illuminates the full disk of the earth during a full moon, or the full disk of the moon during a full moon. But if the earth becomes in the way of the moon getting its light, then what, instead of the moon being seen as bright light in the sky on a full moon, instead what will be seen is the moon turns red. That's called a lunar eclipse. So the reason why it looks red is because the sun is shining around the edges of the earth, and just as you would see that the atmosphere turns red when it becomes dusk or dawn, all of those sunsets show up at once and reflect on the moon, and the moon looks red. So those are called blood moons. But, you know, there's nothing else, you know, as far as anything being related to Yahweh's calendar, you know, except, you know, you could say, you know, that you can't really get a lunar eclipse except during a time when there's a full moon. So, all right. And, of course, the full moons are going, there's a 2 out of 12 chances of that being on the festival. So, because the festivals of the Feast of Tabernacles, the festival of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, typically occur when there's a full moon. So, Heather Ashby says, thanks for deciding to conduct new moon services. I have a bit of guilt and sadness due to realizing the new moon passed without any notice. We used to try to all get together and celebrate them. It seemed to never work out very well. This will help a lot. Hallelujah. You mentioned there were Freeman's from Arkansas. You mentioned there were 1,944 years since the temple was destroyed at the first of the broadcast. Did I miss that part in the study? Yeah, just go 2014 minus 70, because the temple was destroyed 70 AD. Subtract 70 off of 2014, you get 1944. So, Jake from Ohio, how should a student such as myself manage a lot of homework on the weekend? Living in a world of productivity and work gets difficult times to refrain from working on the seventh day. I'm currently a freshman in high school. Yeah, unfortunately, sadly, you know, they don't regard the Sabbath day, and we're just going to have to do that work. I mean, there's no other way around it if we want to take those kinds of classes. Of course, we could reduce our school load or workload or whatever, perhaps. Maybe it'll cost us more going another year. I don't know. But that's the only way I know around it. I'm open to anybody else sharing a suggestion on that. Anita Harrington from St. Louis. Is the seventh day following the seven-day Sabbath following the new moon on whatever day the seventh day lands on? No, because the new moon is the moon cycle is 29 and a half days, and Yahweh says 6 days you shall work, seventh day is a Sabbath. That would be if you were to do that, then you have the Sabbath on the you know, either. Some people do 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. Other people do 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th days of the month. They call that the Lunar Sabbath. And I did write an article in response to that doctrine, and it's on the webpage. In fact, if you type Lunar Sabbath in Google, the article I wrote will show up on the top there. And if you know Psalm 119 Ministries, they actually did a study on Lunar Sabbath, and they basically read my study off word for word. So, and they asked permission for that. I said, go free. So, anyway, no, the cycle of the week is independent of the moon. They don't match. Patrick from Coquille says, I for sure think differently about the calendar, but not a lot different. I believe I should look for the visible moon as Yahweh created it and intended it to be. I believe he made the first day of the month to start when the first visible light contacts the earth. Then that first rotation of the earth on its axis is the first day of the month as he made it. He did not have Jerusalem or Coquille made as part of a city of people yet. I do not believe that. Me, myself, and I am the one celebrating. Well, that establishes the first day of the month by seeing it. I might be determining what he established by seeing it, but it is not by my authority that it starts the moon because I see it. In short, he established a day and man is to determine it. If it can be determined that the visible new moon has started on the earth, better yet, I get a report, then I have to be intellectually honest with Yahweh, acknowledge if I have no means to get reports of or I know it is there, I am left to counting 29 or 30 as I personally see fit, much like Noah did while in the ark for quite a while. Well, we do the best we can. So, I don't have a problem with acknowledging. If I see it, that's my sign. Okay. All right. Anonymous says, the blood moons may or may not mean anything as they have appeared before and nothing has happened. This is explained on YouTube by looking up blood moons debunked and by following up by looking at the dates of previous blood moons. Yeah, I think the significance they're seeing is that there's four of them in one year, and this year and next year, and for that reason they happen close to or on the feast days. They're thinking maybe there's some significance there. So, CJ from LA, California, YRM.org has a spot on their site where people all over the world can post new moon sightings. Like you, they scrutinize the sightings and make sure sightings are legitimate. Okay. Karen from Virginia, we are all born again in Yahshua, one new man. In the earth we are Yisrael, Hebrews, we are crossing over, praise Yahweh, looking forward to, quote, Monday night, end quote. Bless you and family all here with teachable hearts, bless every person. Question, am I breaking Shabbat if I light a candle later on in the evening of Shabbat? He says not to kindle a fire on the Sabbath, so yes, we're supposed to do that. And also there is a link to the calendar if anyone wants to download the most recent calendar according to Yahweh's calendar. According to Brother Richard anyway, what he sees as being Yahweh's calendar. I think that's different than what I saw earlier. Nope, there it is. I'll put that up here for everyone. Oops. And you can download that. And it is willyouloveHim.org. .html/pdf/CCalendar.pdf. Donna from Missouri, thank you for pointing out scriptures that show work was done on the new moons and that therefore new moons are not holy days. Please notice all the work that was done on the 15th. Likewise, it scripturally does not qualify as a holy day. Numbers 33:1-3. Anonymous says, what are your thoughts on people who speak in tongues? Those who speak in tongues, I'm all for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as long as it really is from the Holy Spirit. And my understanding, it would be a legitimate language, not just gibberish. It would be a legitimate language with structure. And its original intent was that there would be somebody in the room who understood it and could glorify Yahweh because of it. But I don't know. I have some questions about it as far as what's commonly done today. I question about it. I have questions about whether it's a genuine gift. Especially when people that worship the devil and practice voodoo can do the same thing. Or what looks to be the same thing. So, anyway. Anonymous says, requesting prayer. I think you posted to the wrong link. But I'll go ahead and post it for you. The prayer request you got there. I'll move it over here for you to... prayer request list. Patrick from Kokio, is there a way you could or would be able to have an email list announcing your start time and recognizing the day of the new moon? The afternoon before your streaming, we would submit an email address that you could use rather than you sending it to people who don't want to register for it. I am looking at developing a mailing list for things like that. So, good idea. Glenn Jen Robbins says, quick question, what's the proper pronunciation of Aviv? Is it Abib or Aviv? I thought the Hebrew letter Bet was pronounced as a V only by tradition. Well, it is. There's a dogish in the center of it. It would be pronounced with the harder sound, the B. If there's not a dogish in the center of Aviv, then it would be pronounced with a lighter V. And so is the case with other letters as well. And I can't prove that's from tradition. It's certainly what the Masoretes preserved for us. So, Patrick from Kokio says a friend of his has a more accurate astronomy software program and said he did have some interesting things, but the fact is it occurs more than people think. It's happened a lot, still will. Nothing to get worked up about for sure. Okay. All right. Linda says, concerning the new moon, expressing someone else's information, they say, think of them, the Moedzer festivals, in today's terms as the default position when there is no human authority. Yahweh gave authority to Israel to take part in determining these feasts while there was a Jewish court to do it. In the 4th century, Hillel 2 established a fixed calendar based on mathematical astronomical calculations. He held the office of the ancient Jewish Sanhedrin between 320 and 385. Therefore, he had the authority to go back to default position when the Sanhedrin was threatened to extinction if they continue to cite the new moon. Because of this, they believe no individual has the authority to determine a calendar based on their own personal sighting or their own personal barley crop to determine the beginning of the new year, saying you can't have a dozen different people, especially who have no authority, who are not even Jewish, all saying you have to follow their sighting of the new moon or their barley crop to determine the Jewish calendar. Example, putting on a police uniform does not make you a policeman. Any comments? Yes, I have a comment on that. Regarding authority, I have a comment on that. I'm going to post the scripture up. As far as authority is concerned, what I read is, Yahushua came and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so, I don't accept the Pharisees and Sadducees and whoever else might be in any Jewish Sanhedrin, particularly when they're not submitting to Messiah Yahshua. So I don't feel like I have to listen to them or that they are my authority in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't mean I have to be disrespectful or, but they're not my rabbi. Yahshua is my rabbi. Now, does that mean, what does that mean? Is Yahshua going to come and say, look, this is when the new moon is? Yes, he did tell us when the new moon is. And so we go according to what he said in the scriptures, the new moon is. The best that we can grasp, that would be the first time we see the moon after it has been dark in its phases. And so if we are going according to scripture, I don't have to call my neighbor to find out whether it's sundown. I can look at myself. I don't have to call anybody else and tell me the sun went down, therefore the Sabbath has begun. Likewise, I don't have to call anybody to find out when the new moon is or whatever. So, Believer says, I heard you say on a previous broadcast the New Jerusalem will rest on the earth. Is there a verse that states this? He said, I have always believed it will hover over the earth, over the current land of Israel. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. Clap your hands, all you people. Psalms 47. Shout to Elohim with the voice of triumph, for Yahweh Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. We shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah, Elohim has gone up with a shout, Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Now, what I read is Revelation 21:10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim. I guess my assumption, since it was descending out of heaven, it was going to land on the earth. It's going to float up there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, but I don't know if I would use those scriptures to say, I mean, they're under our feet, whether Jerusalem's on land or wherever it is. It's going to be, you know, that's an analogy given. You know, there's not, when something's under our feet, that means they're under our authority. And it's for that reason we bow before the feet of Messiah. We bow before Yahweh, saying, you are my authority. And, you know, there's some symbolism there. I'm not sure I would take it beyond that symbolism. But perhaps, I guess we'll find out one way or the other. Anonymous says, who sings the song Ram Vanasa? I think that is it Jonathan Sattel? Do I have that right? I could be wrong. For some reason, the name escapes me right now. But it's on Amazon. I found it on Amazon somewhere. Anonymous says, ancient Israel also kept watches like we read in Mark 6:48, other chapters and hours, and also Matthew 20, verse 3, verses 5, 6, and 9. Do you think this is something to consider in keeping with the time of the day or night, each day or evening? Well, that was not originally in the Torah. It was never mentioned necessarily in the Torah, but you know, perhaps we could do that. I've never really thought of it that way, but a possibility. You have to get the sundial out and mark the hours on that too. So I thought that would be an interesting exercise. Excuse me. Was up late last night. User 7 from Ontario says, Brother Tom, would using electricity from a private company generators be a form of commerce, since we are getting service on in exchange for a fee? Well, yeah, I mean, electric company. And that's why I try to you know, I turn my water heater off. I try not to use any lighting unless it's necessary, you know, particularly for some spiritual purpose or whatever, and minimize my use of electricity on Sabbath. And the reason is because, you know, I understand, okay, right now I'm using a whole lot of electricity to to send this broadcast out to you. The lights in here, computers, there's various monitors, there's a mixer, there's digital mixers, all kinds of stuff to get this broadcast going. But the electricity being used is for spiritual purposes. And Messiah indicated that just as, you know, the priests were blameless when they actually did work on Sabbath. And, you know, likewise, if we are using something that involved work for a spiritual purpose, the principle I'm looking at here is the proclamation of the good news to all nations. I don't have a problem using electricity for that. Now, I have questions about whether we need to use an air conditioner in our houses. I would need to use one here in my broadcast building, or all my systems would fry, and so would I. But, you know, otherwise, you know, people before 1950 didn't have air conditioning. So, do we need it? Is it a necessity? Maybe not. That's the question. So, you know, you know, follow your conscience. Ask Yahweh to develop your conscience in that area. I thought about, you know, maybe I would just run a generator on Sabbath. But then Yahweh says not to kindle a fire, and as a generator, there's like thousands of fires per minute going on, being kindled, and it's still in the same predicament. Yeah, maybe you could do that if it was for spiritual purposes. So either way, the only way around, I think, would be, you know, go solar or wind. So, don't have the money for that right now. I'd love to do it. All right, Farron Jackson from Langley, B.C. I understand the most recent information concerning the blood moons was made accidentally by Mark Biltz 6 years ago. Since then, many pastors have taken this information and done with it what was right to them. My book was promoted by Mr. Biltz so the video could be produced by himself so that everyone would share, could share his, in his discovery. Fortunate for us, there will be a free live streaming event to air the Blood Moons DVD from El Shaddai Ministries April 7th, elshaddaiministries.us. All right. One-time event. Patrick says, a lady commented about authority in the Jewish Hillel 2 system. The Jew at that time went astray from all the other rabbis. They were telling him he was going against what was right by the rest of the rabbis for a long time. This Hillel 2 went rebellious against Yahweh. His rebellion is as an act of witchcraft. Look at what Satan has done to religions, families, governments by not obeying Yahweh. We got to go back to the way Yahweh says. Christopher Johnson says, can you play a song, Kodesh, 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 when you play the music before the closing? I don't have that song anywhere with Yahweh's name in it. So, sorry. User 7 said, would medical studies be forbidden on Shabbat? I don't know, maybe not. It's, you know, it's to save a life, perhaps. Similar along the lines of healing on Sabbath. I don't know. I'd like to know the context of it and the details. Because sometimes, as they say, the devil is in the details. So, Hannah from Ohio says, can I bake muffins on Sabbath? According to Exodus chapter 16, no. And the precedent we have here in the Torah, the principle that we have is Exodus 16, 22 and 23, obviously for one, it's work, and for two, says, and so it was on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moshe, and he said to them, this is what Yahweh has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So the day of preparation is a day for cooking whatever you want to cook and eat on the Sabbath. We would not personally do any cooking on Sabbath. It's work in my mind, and so it appears to me Yahweh had gotten them in that habit there in Exodus 16. Which is interesting because the Exodus 20 is when the Sabbath was mentioned in the Ten Commandments. So, as soon as they come out of the land, Yahweh says, we're going to keep the Sabbath day. It's that important to him. Nama says, you believe we will have spiritual bodies as members of Yahweh's kingdom after the thousand-year reign. Who will live in a physical body on the planet, and how will the lion lay with the lamb to complete the prophetic imagery? Will there not be men living forever upon the earth in peace physically? Yahshua, even though he was a spiritual body, he appeared to Thomas and said, look, put your hand in my side. I'm not a spirit. He says, I'm flesh. So I think a spirit body, just as angels can appear in physical form, spirit bodies have the option, it appears to me, based on what I see as precedent in Scripture, of manifesting physically. So perhaps it won't matter either way. But the lion laying with the lamb, that's actually going to occur during a thousand-year reign, it appears to me. So, and technically, it's the wolf that lies with, or anyway. Let's see. It says that the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. So, just so you get a little clarification. Leopards shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and young lion shall and a fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. What a beautiful picture. And Patrick from Coquille again. Comment regarding parts of the day, 24 hours. Exodus 14 tells us when the morning occurs in relation to the morning watch. Lest the morning watch is not the morning. Exodus 14:22. It came to pass in the morning watch, Yahweh looked unto the host of the Egyptians throughout the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Okay. All right. I remember that now. I'll have to look that up. Ashmura, in the Hebrew. Ashmura, should say in the Hebrew. Does appear to be watches in the morning, and yeah, that's there, definitely. When we host our Feast of Tabernacles every year, we do have watches. I mean, we have the two men that are always watching over the camp at all times, praying over the camp. So, all right. Karen from Virginia says, I like a scented candle during Shabbat, so has my Shabbat been in vain? Are there any words you can give me other than asking for forgiveness and mercy for my ignorance, and can I go on and just enjoy the Shabbat? I think I would blow it out and ask Yahweh to forgive me, and that would be like an act of repentance, I would think, and then go from there. Just don't worry about it. Don't kill yourself over it, in guilt. But now you know, and so move on. Peter from Los Angeles says, hi, is keeping up with personal hygiene considered work on Shabbat, i.e. taking a shower? Not like if you're unclean, you want to be clean, perhaps. In that instance, it would be okay. Although, I've kind of wondered about that myself. I've it's entered my mind, put it that way. So I don't know. It's your conscience. I don't have a problem with it, particularly if we're wanting, if we became unclean for some reason, we want to be clean. At other occasions, it's questionable, I would think, you know, because there is some work involved there. And, all right, Richard says, wasn't Preparation Day a once-a-year thing? The Messiah did not die on the sixth day of the week, so the sixth day is not called Preparation Day, I thought. Well, no, I mean, it's something I would call Preparation Day, whether that's exactly what Scripture calls. I mean, it's calling a day of preparation Passover, I see that. So, but it's in preparation for that 15th of Aviv, and so from my perspective, the 15th of Aviv, if it's preparation before a Sabbath, I do make preparations before Shabbat, so I don't have a problem calling it that. Maybe if somebody else does, they can not call it that. So, all right. User 7 says the context is studying for the medical board licensing exams for aspiring physicians, Yahweh willing. Yeah, I don't know. That would be one of those things. It would almost seem more like so we can make it a profession. To me, it would be too much related to working. But again, I think Yahweh really kind of left these things sort of open and to kind of test our conscience. And if we're not feeling right about it, what are we going to do? And that's even more important than what we're really doing, so to speak, because we want to follow what we believe Yahweh is telling us to do. It's when we don't follow what we believe Yahweh is telling us to do, that we are in danger of not manifesting the works of repentance. So, Nancy says, would you please put up the verse about kindling a fire on Sabbath? How many times is it mentioned in Scripture? I'm having trouble believing Yahweh would want us to be cold or not have light. Could the original language have been mistranslated? No, he's not saying that you can't be warm or you can't have light. It's when we kindle it. It's when we start the fire that's the issue. So kindling the fire would not be done on the Sabbath. If you have a fire that's already going and you add a log to it in order to stay warm, I don't see that being a prohibition. But the actual prohibition here has to do specifically with starting a fire. If we light our candles prior to the Sabbath and let them continue to burn, we have the oil lamps we like to use here, then that wouldn't be a problem for me. So, all right. Anonymous says, Yahshua said we are to help someone fallen in a well even on the Sabbath. Wouldn't it make sense that as a society we need nurses or doctors to care for wounded or sick people on Sabbath as well then? All right. Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. Yeah, I don't have a problem with, if I had medical knowledge and I saw that somebody was sick or needed a bone to be set or needed cared for on the Sabbath, I would have no problem with taking care of them on the Sabbath day. Where I might take exception would be is if I'm using that for a business. There were midwives in ancient Israel, and probably they got paid, but I would imagine in the interest of honoring Yahweh's Sabbath, that they would have not taken payment on Sabbath day and did it as a good deed for Sabbath, for Sabbath baby. Baby's coming any day of the week, you know. So, but I don't know, but, you know, making a business out of it, out of taking care of people and then collecting money, that's kind of where I question it, you know. Yeah, the ox fell in the ditch, but that doesn't mean go put up a sign and says, ox pulling business every Sabbath. You need an ox pulled out, we will help you on the Sabbath and you pay us money. Something about that smacks of, you know, loophole in the law type mentality. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. Scott and Joanne Martin said, looks like a good site for explanation of what are the meanings of the months of the year. All right. There's actually a lot of good sites out there, you know, that tell you what the different meanings are for each month. And so, all right. Anna says, I'm sad. Now can you blow the shofar behind you and sing? Hey, wait till New Moon Day. Then we'll blow the shofar. Okay, Jay says, Exodus 16:23, the word today is not in the original text. Those were in italics. Was not the instruction more to do with faith that the food would be fine to eat the next day? That's certainly not how I interpret it. I understand there are those who interpret it that way. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Well, that would indicate to me that they're going to bake what they're going to bake that day and not the next day, because that's a Sabbath day. And yes, that was going to help preserve the manna that was collected. I'm not discounting that fact. But in my mind, baking and boiling are certainly acts of work. And so that's just, for me, more so confirmation than my source material. So, all right. Anonymous says, is playing appropriate games on Sabbath prohibited? Board games, video games, card games. If the games are instructive in spiritual things, perhaps. Bible games, things like that. We've done this. There's this little, you know, box thing here, the little wood blocks you pull them out, and I think it's called Tumbler or something like that. And, you know, we wrote scriptures on them. And then whenever we pull out one, we read the scripture verse, you know. There's all kinds of Bible board games, Bible, I don't know if there's very many Bible video games, but there's different things out there that would be, in my mind, more Sabbath appropriate. And there's also a book out there called Sabbath Action Blast. Sabbath Action Blast! Exclamation point. And it's 101 activities for Sabbath for families and groups. So that might be a consideration also. I have the book. I don't know if I would consider all the activities Sabbath appropriate, but a lot of them are. So, Farron Jackson from Langley, BC, Canada. Good scripture for understanding underfoot perhaps could be Daniel 8:13. Okay. Look that up. Daniel 8:13. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? Okay. All right. Anonymous also asked me who sang the song Ram Vanasa. I'm thinking it's Jonathan Settel, S-E-T-T-E-L. I can be corrected on that. CJ says, I heard a question from someone in Los Angeles. I believe he said his name was Peter. Could you please have him email me at this email address or find me on Facebook? The email address is yhws_servant@yahoo.com. And there you go. Scott and Joanne Martin from Erie, Pennsylvania. If I remember correctly, the command is no servile work on the Sabbath or high days, working for money, working for exchange for food and board, not partaking in bodily hygiene may border on Pharisaical perspective. I'm thinking that clipping toenails, fingernails could be logically done another day, commonsensically speaking, not overdoing it. Having your wife cut your hair, in my opinion, would be example of too much on Shabbat. Okay. Jamie from Palmer, Alaska. The assembly I study the Torah with on Sabbath are planning to kill a lamb on Passover. I am feeling this to be wrong in my spirit. Could you please show me in Scripture if we are to do this? Okay. Well, first of all, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Yahshua is our Passover. That's what he is. So if I have something else, I would feel like I'm in violation in some way. Second of all, Deuteronomy 16 tells us that we cannot keep Passover and slaughter the lamb anywhere but where Yahweh puts his name. Excuse me. That happened to be in Jerusalem eventually. And when the children of Israel started to set up an altar somewhere else, in Joshua chapter 22, that was considered to be an act of rebellion against Yahweh. And then we also would need to be clean in the eyes of Yahweh as well. And there needs to be an altar because the blood was sprinkled on the altar. The blood of the Passover lamb was sprinkled on the altar according to I'll find the scripture for you. It's either Hezekiah or it's Josiah's Passover. I'm thinking it might be Josiah's, but I'm not 100% sure. It's one of the two Passovers. They took the blood of the Passover lambs and sprinkled them on the altar. That was where it was supposed to be after that. So, those are some scriptures to consider on that question. Kay says a prohibition against kindling a fire on the Sabbath was against building of the tabernacle. I don't know where you're getting that from. Work shall be done for 6 days. Seventh day is a holy day for you. Sabbath, the rest to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. I don't see anything about building a tabernacle necessarily in that context. So, I don't know. Trying to see if there was another scripture somewhere as well for that. I don't see it. But I certainly would feel like I'm not being completely honest with the text in my heart if I was to say, well, that's only in this instance. He just says not to kindle a fire on Sabbath. So that's what I would go with. Anonymous from UK says, do believers avoid getting married on Sabbath? What happens if they're invited to attend the marriages of unbelievers? You know, some marriages ceremonies are very spiritual in nature. If it's a very spiritually minded service, then perhaps it would be okay. Not too many of them are. A lot of them is... Some of the weddings can get downright worldly and rowdy, and that's where I kind of have a problem. So, Peter from Los Angeles, in light of the coming Passover feast of unleavened bread, I was wondering if buckwheat noodles are okay. It's become part of my regular diet. Can you also repeat the email address? I don't know what buckwheat noodles are made from, except for maybe it's buckwheat. If it's just has the, there's no leavening in it, then I don't think it would be an issue. So, the email address is yhwhs_servant, S-E-R-V-A-N-T, @yahoo.com. Anita Harrington from St. Louis, Missouri. Excuse me, but I'm still a bit confused on what day is a seventh-day Sabbath every week. When does it start in the evening? What time? Is it on Saturday? Is it the morning? Certain time to evening? Sorry, but again, I was told by a Hebrew tutor that we count 7 days after the new moon. Any whatever day we land on during the week is Sabbath. That's probably what's called a lunar Sabbatarian. They reset the week every month according to the first day of the month and move on from there. And they regard the first day of the month as a Sabbath, and then they might go on 7 days later on the eighth day of the month, call that a Sabbath as well. And, I don't know, it's, to me, it's bizarre. It's a theory. It's not based on anything we find in Scripture, instruction-wise. It violates the principle of 6 days you shall work, seventh day you shall rest, because you're going to inevitably run into the 28th day or 29th day, and then you're going to have an extra day at the end of every lunar month, being the 30th day, and then you got the first... It's crazy. So I don't see it that way. It's very simple. The Sabbath that was being kept in the first century by the Jews, the Romans called their Sabbath Saturday, or Day of Saturn. And the recurring seven-day cycle, from what I've studied, has not been altered since then. In light of the fact that Jewish people were very studious about Sabbath keeping, I don't see them changing it to another day. Very, you know, rigid on that. I don't see them completely changing the day, and everybody all over the world not knowing when it changed, or that it changed, or somehow they all knew it changed. So, yeah, what the world would call Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That's when the Jewish people observe Sabbath. That's the way they've done it for thousands of years. And from what I've studied, they are correct about that. Wilson says, what about cutting vegetables for salad? Is not cooking on Sabbath. Should this be allowed or not? You know, it's one of those gray areas. I mean, if it's something you can do ahead of time, I would say do it ahead of time. My goal would be, you know, to have it all there and just pick it out, take it out, and eat it. That would be my hope. If there's excessive preparations and work going on in preparing our food and so on, it would be a bit of a problem for me. But, you know, Yahweh, like I said, He left this thing open, and we need to follow what we believe is the right thing to do. All right, Anonymous says, is it possible to know if one has committed the unpardonable sin? Not always. If you have, though, you wouldn't ask. Because you wouldn't care. The Holy Spirit would be unable to call you or unwilling to call you into the sheepfold. And the Scriptures say that no one comes to Messiah unless the Father draws him. And the way Yahweh draws us is by His Spirit. So if you have a desire to walk in righteousness and follow the way of Yahweh and to believe in the Master Yahshua HaMashiach, that is evidence that the Father has called you and by His Spirit. And so if someone that is not being called, they're not going to care whether they've committed the unpardonable or not, because they're not interested in spiritual things. And what if someone's crossed that line or not? May very well depend on their, you know, whether or not they crossed that line. We may not even know. So, someone wanted me to speak the words in Hebrew regarding the blessing. I don't feel that it is right for me, not being an elder, to bless everyone. But I don't have a problem reading the words. Yivarechecha Yahweh, v'yirishmarecha, Ya'er Yahweh panal elecha, v'yikonecha, Yasa Yahweh panal elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. That is the words in Hebrew, the Numbers 6:22-24 blessing. Scott and Joanne Martin from Erie, PA, some of the rabbis, Pharisaical, consider anything that swells at all to be leaven. Pasta, buckwheat noodles, swelling up while boiling to be leaven. Nothing wrong with eating it, not leaven in my opinion, but shouldn't be cooked on the Sabbath or Shabbaton. Okay. All right. I don't have a problem with noodles myself. So, I believe that is the last of the questions for now. And I'm getting a little bit tired physically, up too late last night. But we will go ahead and take a phone call or two if you are interested in calling in. Our telephone number is, I'll try to post it up here for us. Well, here we go. All right. Pardon me, getting back to the right section there. The telephone number is 417-683-3575 or toll free 866-435-4924. And, of course, Skype ID, Eliyahu.com, is also something you can call in. Perhaps share some music, ask a question, share a testimony, and so on and so forth. So, all right. So our next song here from the library is We're going to share the song from James Block. Hallelujah.
Thank you. spirit will rejoice. Streams in the wilderness, sands become a pool. Yahweh will be there, His Son will be the King. Nations will come up and praise Him again. Springs in the desert, flowing water pure and free. Springs in the desert, eternal life for you and me. We can have free water and never thirst again. A source of living water to wash away our sin. Yahshua, our Redeemer, has promised us a home and given life eternal if we drink the water. There'll be no death to hurt and destroy, and no pain will ever be there. Freely He will give from the fountain of life, life forevermore, life from the throne, life-giving water, so deep we can't pass through. The Lamb and the Father will be there in that land, a land truly healed, a land healed by living water. Springs in the desert, flowing water pure and free. Springs in the desert, eternal life for you and me.
Hallelujah, and I believe that worked out okay. A couple songs there. Got a little bit of food in my belly for energy. And we are ready to resume. And if you have a comment or a question you want to call in, or a reason to call in to say Shabbat Shalom, a testimony, anything of that nature, feel free to call us at 417-683-3575 or toll free 866-435-4924. And there was someone who called in during the songs, and so I wasn't able to answer it quite yet. But if you call in now, I should be able to answer the phone and take your phone call. So, all right, Nancy asked the question, when the set-apart spirit speaks to us, does the spirit usually communicate in Bible verses? It certainly can. Yahshua said that the spirit would remind the disciples of the words he spoke to them. So I do think that would be actually very, very common. I feel it is, at least for me. And a lot of times when I'm writing a study, that's when I get my verses in my head, just get deposited in my head. So if you're studying something out, very well could be. All right, we have a caller. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Dawn in Southern Oregon.
Dawn in Oregon. Shabbat Shalom.
And Todah Rabba, because I do get to watch you on video on Shabbat, because we don't particularly go anywhere. We're shut-ins, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I just appreciate what you're doing, and I like your methodical approach to scriptures, and especially Torah.
Hallelujah.
For as much as anyone is Torah observant, we try to be Torah observant, but who knows what that means today in the Messianic communities.
Just doing the best we can, that's all. And, go ahead.
I will pose no questions. That's for others. And I like the idea that you're not trying to use a forum format in like a panel sitting up there. I like your, it's more of a rabbinic approach. I like the way you do in shul or in yeshiva.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to pattern myself after that. I actually, there was at least one broadcast. I brought Brother Neil on here, and we kind of went over questions together. But, yeah, it's more along the lines of I'm the only one here. So,
what I do is I try to share with nominal believers, people you meet in your daily work and around, is show the what is done in yeshiva, teaching that it is better to learn to ask the right questions than to have all the right answers.
That's true, because it's when we ask the right questions we get the important answers we're looking for. And sometimes our questions, a lot of questions that come through on the broadcast are questions I've already asked myself. And so,
correct.
That's why, I can sit here and answer a bunch of them, at least somewhat logically, is because I've already asked myself those questions. But, there's always the tough ones that come in, and I just have to say, I don't know. But, I'm sure that I don't have all the answers. And so my expectation is that with anything that I would respond, that, people would search it out for themselves. And I'm just one person, and there's lots of, as it says, a counsel of many there is wisdom. And that's where, we all have to do the best that we understand, and our main motive needs to be, that we love Yahweh and we love our fellow man. And out of that motive, when we seek the answers in Scripture, we can find them. If we're trying to start a religion or a denomination or whatever, a following or whatever, then that can influence our answers too. And so, for me, I'm just trying to love Yahweh. I don't know everything, but that's one reason I do open the floor for comments, is so that people can hear some alternative viewpoints and make a judgment.
Yeah, I think in conclusion, I would just add, I think the Protestant world, the Christian world, is egomaniacal. It wants to save the individual. Well, we're all given, 70 years, so I think it's about the salvation of humanity, or you can say the salvation of Israel. Then you ask, what is Israel? So it's far broader, I believe, than the Christian perspective, which is egocentric and only requires an emotional response, because we have the spirit counterpart in our minds, in our being, and it's always deflected toward emotion. And I don't believe the kingdom of heaven will put the greatest emphasis on that. I embrace the kingdom of heaven as the evangel. So that is antithetical to the gospel of salvation. And I think that, I could be wrong, I think that point needs to be brought up more frequently. And I thank you again for your commitment here and your service today. Thank you.
Blessed be Yahweh. Yahweh's will be done. Good to hear from you. I feel pretty strongly that the ideal situation is that we have local fellowship wherever we are. But then, if we don't have that, then we have the internet, broadcasts out there. It's a very man-centered world in a lot of the religiosity that we see. But that's a word. And we want to get away from that. We want to get more toward Scripture being the center and the Messiah being the center of everything that we do, His example and His words. And it's good to compare notes. And that's really what teaching is all about. Just sharing my notes, and then you share with me your notes at the conclusion of each session. So, all right. I appreciate the comments there from brother in the left coast. And the phone lines are still open, 417-683-3575, or toll free, 866-435-4924. And Skype ID, once again, eliod.com. Feel free to call in. And I do believe we have a caller calling in. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Kana.
All right.
Hello?
Say again.
My name is Kana.
Kanas, okay. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Your computer might be a delay. If you got the broadcast on, you might try turning it down. Otherwise, it can get a little bit confusing.
I will do that.
Okay. It's okay. Lots of people do that.
Hello?
All right. We got you. Connus, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Okay.
I actually gave myself a Hebrew name, and I haven't called into the broadcast for quite some time.
Okay.
But I introduce myself now as Kana whenever I speak to people that know Yahweh and Yeshua.
Excellent.
But the reason why I called Brother Tom is because I was the one that sent the message about the using the watches and the hours.
Okay.
The reason why I mentioned that is because I had studied from the New Testament, that the watches and hours were used. And then I said, Father Yahweh, show me in the Old Testament where the watches and hours were used. And if you go to Exodus 14:24, it says, and it came to pass that in the morning, watch, Yahweh looked to the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So they were keeping the watches. I can't find where they were keeping the hours, but I know that they were, earlier part of the day, every 3 hours is a watch,
right.
And then it goes all the way to 12 hours. Because remember in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew where Yeshua says there's 12 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So they divided the watches every 3 hours, just like we know that Yeshua was went to the stake on the ninth hour, So there had to been that what do I want to say? It had to have been, they knew about watches and hours from the Torah, you know? And so that's all I wanted to say. But I could be wrong. I'm just, I don't want to put anything into the book saying something that is not true, but that's what I studied in the past, and I just wanted to share that with you. And
thank you.
It's okay if no one agrees. I may be wrong myself. That's all I wanted to share.
No,
but Yahweh bless everyone. I'm so. I just wanted to say this one more thing. I'm so happy since I'm an older person that I have the internet to listen to the broadcast weekly. And it's a blessing, I'm sure, to many, many people, including myself. Shabbat shalom.
Praise Yahweh. Thank you very much for sharing that about the watches. I'd forgotten all about that. I think I'd mentioned that the watches, I didn't remember seeing that until the time of the first century, but it's definitely there, the morning watch in Exodus 14. And I think there's another place, too, where it's mentioned as well. So it's a good thing, worthy of study. And the Hebrew word is Ashmerah, and it's number 821 in your Strong's, if you look it up. And
okay.
So, yeah, that's meditate on Yahweh in the night watches, Psalm 63, verse 6, Psalm 90, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it has passed, and like a watch in the night. Psalm 119, 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. So, definitely good stuff. Appreciate you sharing that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing those other scriptures. I will look at them. And Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, sister. Shabbat Shalom to you. All right, praise Yahweh, and I think we might have another caller calling in. At least someone's trying to. I've got my little light signal that tells me a caller's coming in. And we'll take another phone call or two here. And I believe it is Patrick in Oregon. Shabbat Shalom.
Hi, how are you doing? Shabbat Shalom to you guys, and hope you're having good weather. We're having a lot of rain, and I say greetings to my brother Don down the road. Come on, drop by sometime again, Don. I'll talk to you later. Anyway, the reason I was calling is someone had commented about communicating, I guess, with the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to get into too much detail. You know, I think a lot differently than 99.999999% of the modern Christians. And I've heard people say, well, I wonder what his name is. They think it's a person. But the point is I thought about that. If you hear the Spirit or that kind of a thing, and if we go and we look at the fruits of the Spirit and we list them out, and this is what I've touched on in times past, and I've got kind of off that path recently, but the fruits of the Spirit, those are qualities, and it isn't just like there's a spirit being there that we're trying to discern what it says or he says or whatever. Now, it says something about testing the spirits, whether or not they're of Yahweh, I think, something along those lines. And what I've done is if I hear or something crosses my mind or something that is against Scripture or against something that seems crazy, you know, like something stupid, you know, like jump off a bridge or something, you know, you have to test it against that which is written. And the Scriptures is the authority, and that's what I've done. I never want to think that I'm above the Scriptures, but that I want to yield to the Scripture and thankful that I'm a living son of Yahweh. So when jumping back to the set apart and Holy Spirit, we can quantify at least certain aspects of it by quality. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit and so on, so let's say if I'm in a situation and I'm wanting to be resentful, or now this is a tough one. If I'm in a situation and I don't want to be joyful, you know, counter to joy when you fall into various trials. Well, if I'm not being joyful about it, then I'm not letting the quality of the Spirit be in me. So this is all part of the struggles and things I've been working with, and it's a whole new thing. It could last me for, you know, 20, 30, 40 more years if the Father gives me that much more life as a man walking on earth. So I think more trying to understand the qualities of the Spirit rather than thinking about an ethereal good feeling or this, that, or the other, but actually try to qualify it and quantify it. Says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. So that righteous would have to be doing things that are, let's say, this is just one example of what the Scripture tells us is what is righteousness. So rulers and leaders and even heads of families and even children, if we are righteous, then, you know, parents won't provoke the children into wrath, and the children won't be rebellious to the parents, you know, and they're joyful about whatever is going on. So anyway, I just want to comment there about the Holy Spirit, you know, as, you know, hearing voices or something, you know. Of course, I have a sense of humor, too. Sometimes I have people, I'll talk to people, and they'll come up and we'll talk, and I'll say, has anybody ever asked you if you hear voices? If anybody ever asks you that, you know what to say? And they look at me like I'm weird. And I say, absolutely so. I can hear you talking to me. I mean, that's a strange question.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I do think, you know, Acts 16:6, for instance, the Holy Spirit forbid them from preaching the word in Asia. You know, there is a, you know, certainly a divine force from Yahweh where is going to lead us and guide us into all truth, and the fruits of the Spirit are there because, you know, the work of Yahweh is in us, the power of Messiah is in us to enable us to be walking in righteousness. The Scripture says that the Spirit will cause us to walk in His statutes and judgments and do them, and so there's the empowering point of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the leadership point of the Holy Spirit, which reminds us of the words of the Scriptures, which will place words in our minds to direct us in certain ways, such as the Spirit had forbidden them from speaking the word in Asia, things like that. There's the daily leading of His Spirit in terms of our activities at times, and so I see, you know, both aspects there. And I do think sometimes people get so caught up in, I think, you know, Yahweh's telling me this or that or the other, and that's fine, you know, but there's also the fruit aspect of walking in love and joy and peace and kindness. And I appreciated your analogy there and the way you broke that down regarding the proverb that when the wicked rule versus when the righteous rule. It says the people mourn. And that can be definitely the case in our households, you know. If we're not ruling our home in righteousness, then we have a depressing household, you know. A sad household with a lot of depression there and anger and works of the flesh. So it's good, you know, not just in human governments in terms of nations, but also within our houses. So
yeah. I was thinking about also a little bit of a different thing. How'd that story go? I can't pull it up. About Balaam riding the ass, and the ass were talking to him, and this and that and the other. And I thought, and I have to revisit it, but it crossed my mind when I was listening to it the other night, that, you know, whoever was speaking to him, it wasn't really the animal talking, but I mean, it might you know what I'm saying. It's some most animals won't talk. And have I ever led you in the wrong way? Have I ever, you know, well, why are you hitting me? Because, you know, then I thought was interesting that, because he wanted to go a certain way. Then the angel stopped him, and I forgot what the angel said, but there was something about, in other words, there's some lessons there that I was learning about how we need to kind of like, just do righteously, regardless if some situations seem like they aren't what we want, you know. I someone can dig up what the angel said. I forgot what the response was. Something like the angel said something like the animal could hear him, but he couldn't, or something, you know. But, anyway, that's just my comments on that. I'd like to get back on track with that. I've been on this other rabbit trail from last week or so, so I want to kind of keep on path with what Yahweh is guiding me.
All right.
All right, blessings to you and everybody else, and I look forward to hopefully some people will dial in. Oh, no, you did the music earlier, I guess. But anyway, blessings. Thank you.
All right, brother, good to hear from you. Yahweh bless. Thanks for sharing. Shabbat shalom. I think that's going to wrap up our call-in portion. I'm looking for a song that somebody had requested. And I'm not sure I actually have that right now. And no, I don't have that song here I can find. So, sorry about that. I don't have it. But if I did, I would share it. It's called The Lighthouse. And I'm pretty sure that song's on the website. SongsForYahweh.com, if I'm not mistaken. All right. So I guess I could probably just pull that up for us and open a video at the same time. Meanwhile, we're going to go ahead and take your prayer requests. If you have a prayer need of some kind, feel free to share that with us, and we will offer that to anyone to Yahweh, I should say, anyone who has a prayer request. And there was a couple questions that came through I want to go ahead and address. JC said, I'm wanting to be baptized in the right name, but was told by a friend it has to be in a river or it does not count. Is that true? I don't know if that can be anywhere communicated clearly that way in Scripture, but I think it's preferable. I think that there were some instances in Scripture where the waters for cleansing had an inlet and outlet. So, you know, perhaps, one could argue that would be the case in a river that would have an outlet. But, you know, you could also make the case that there's an outlet in a big bathtub, too. So, you know, however you want to look at it. I personally don't have a problem baptizing anyone in, sort of like Philip. You know, here's water. Let's get baptized. So, or the Ethiopian, the eunuch. So, Anonymous also said, buckwheat can be ground to make gluten-free flour. Free flour, a leavening agent can be added to any flour, whether gluten-free or not. Passover bread can be made of gluten-free flour. So, all right, we're going to share a final song here from the library or two. And in the meantime, if you have a prayer request just above the right-hand side of the video screen, you can click that link and submit prayer requests there and share your prayer needs with us, and we will offer that prayer up to Yahweh on your behalf as a group. So, at any rate, Our next song is called, if I can get it going here, it's called The Lighthouse.
Yeah.